Magnificent Monday, everyone. Welcome to the 411 Sports World Podcast. I am your host, Mr. 411. The podcast is sponsored by freeliquor.com, where you get your liquor for free. And now, introducing the rest of the team. The starting lineup for tonight, Lacey Dawson and Zachariah Craig.
Greetings.
So, dogs.
So, how's it going?
It's going well.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Considering it's Monday, it's all good.
That's right. It is Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's way good.
It is. Just coming off of a great weekend. A lot of preseason football action. And speaking of football, you know, our topic for today will be the National Football Conference Eastern Division.
Mm-hmm.
It's a division full of rivals, and some very interesting situations in each team's training camp. And so we're going to, you know, we're going to move from the Big Apple to the City of Brotherly Love, also Big D. But we're going to start off in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the Washington Redskins. And, Lacey, I want you to kick it off for us. Please give the fans an overview, the strengths, weaknesses, and predictions.
For tonight, I would like to defer to Zachariah. Zachariah? Well, yes, this will be that one and only time I will ever defer to you, but I would like to defer to you as far as the Redskins are concerned.
So you won the coin toss and you're going to elect to kick?
I elect to kick.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yes. I'm giving away my advantage.
All
Let's
right,
see how that works out.
It's on you.
Well, the Redskins actually have potential to be pretty explosive offensively when you look at some of the pieces that they have. RG3, if he could get himself right, would be a big boom. Even though he's hurt right now, the their wideout that they got from Philly, whose name is slipping my mind right now.
Deshaun.
There you go. Good old Deshaun, the little itty bitty guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Deshaun isn't bad. They got a good running back. When you look at him.
You forgot, of course.
Yep.
That's the one they got from Dallas?
No, I don't think they got Morris from Dallas. He was a sixth rounder, wasn't he?
Yeah, Alfred
Morris.
Oh,
no. Wrong team, I'm sorry.
I want to say he was a sixth rounder. Then they also have Pierre Garçon at the other wideout spot, who's pretty explosive, can be pretty good. Unfortunately, they lost their starting tight end over the weekend to a broken ankle, which he wasn't
Reed?
A you say
you're
what?
Referring to now.
Jordan
you're
Reed?
Referring to Niles Paul? Is that who you're referring to?
Yes, sir. Look at that. Mr. Moderator, you are all on top of.
Was he the starter?
Yeah, he was going to be the starter. He was a starter, wasn't he?
He was shaping out.
If not, he was projected to be in the mix for the starter position.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So that will affect him a little bit. And they drafted a pretty good offensive lineman in Brandon Trace, I believe I said that correctly, to go along with what they have on the line. They picked up Terrence Knighton on the defensive end. You know, I know I was talking about offense. But they have some pieces, and the coach isn't Jay Gruden isn't necessarily that bad either. He's a young guy that has potential. Unfortunately, if we're going to go to weaknesses or whatever, I don't think RG3 is going to be any good. I think he's kind of, I hate to say he's done because it's bad to say a guy's done after really his rookie season, but I just don't think his game translates anymore. I thought magnificent And then he had that injury, and that's kind of been it. So Washington has a lot of – they got some pieces in place, but I think it's been the same on a few of divisions we've talked about with the teams. They're rebuilding. So I'm going to give Washington fans a sad moment, but I have them finishing 3-9.
Three and thirteen.
I'm sorry, I was looking at the conference record. They're gonna go 3-9 their conference. They're gonna finish with a 5-11 record.
5-11, okay. Five and eleven.
Oh,
so
okay.
They're not gonna be in the running for the number one draft pick, but they're not gonna be that good. I don't see them as being better than the other three teams in their division. So they're gonna go 2-4 in division. Then you add they got to play against the AFC East. And I kind of believe the AFC East may be a little bit more improved than the NFC East. So that's going to hurt them some. And I got them at 5-11. And weren't you really excited to talk about them? Because they're pretty dysfunctional right now. But
yeah.
There you go. I'm ready to get on to the better teams. But go ahead, Lacey.
Okay, well, yeah, I kind of wanted to defer to you when it comes to Washington because I just didn't have a lot to say about them. They're, I think you hit it on the head. No matter what they're calling it, they're rebuilding. This is basically RG3's last dance, you know, with the Redskins. No matter what they're saying, because if it doesn't work out this year, they've got to go in a different direction. So he needs to get it together and quickly. And I just don't feel like, when I look at, you know, the pieces that they put around him, like you said, Niles Paul is, you know, was one of the tight ends. But, you know, you got DeSean Jackson, who is a really good receiver in certain circumstances. You know, you don't have that big receiver that Pierre Garçon is there, but they're not using him correctly. I don't feel like RG3 has the kind of weapons that he needs. I just don't feel like that they have really have that on the roster, and I think that it's a rebuilding year for them no matter what they're calling it. The upside for them is that the NFC East, I feel like everybody in this division is beatable. Everybody. I know the Redskins are probably scraping the bottom of the barrel, but just because they're in this division. They do have a good running game. You know, Morris is the real deal. He's not spectacular, but he's good. And they're playing the NFC South, which, you know, you got New Orleans, you got Carolina, Tampa Bay's probably going to be not that hard. You know, there's some really beatable teams that they're going to be playing. I have them finishing very close to 8-8. Very close to it. They don't have a great defense, you know, but they have some offense. And if RG3 gets it together at all, and he's supposed to be healthy, well, you know, healthier, he's had some time to heal. I really feel like, you know, because of the division that they're in, because it's everybody's kind of, there's a lot of parity here. When I looked around the NFC East, I found a lot of areas where, you know, a couple of things go right for any of these teams, and you know, any of them could win a division, really. If RG3 got back into the kind of form that he had, you know, his first year, you know, Washington runs, you know, is definitely at the top and maybe runs away with it. Everybody's missing key pieces, in my opinion. Like I said, because they're playing NFC South and AFC East, you know, these are not necessarily the powerhouse divisions that they're playing. So they have a really good opportunity, in my opinion, to go 8-8 or very close to it, you know, meaning 7-9, 8-8. I feel like they you know, that's my take on the Redskins.
Okay, so can we place you down there as 8-8?
I will solidly say 8-8. I really want to say 7-9, but because of everything I'm looking at, I'm going to say 8-8.
Okay. All right. Well, if it's my turn,
yeah.
I like to go with the theme, since we're in the nation's capital, I'm going to give you all four letters, M-A-S-H, MASH. Medical Army Surgical Hospital.
Huh?
Hmm. The rest is Medical Army Surgical Hospital. Remember the show MASH?
I do.
Yep, I sure do.
When I think of that show, I think of the Washington Redskins.
Ah.
From RG3 to Garcon to DeSean Jackson to the corner that used to play for the Falcons, D'Angelo Hall. I mean, this team is nothing but a MASH unit. And it's only a matter of time before RG3 goes down. It's only a matter of time before DeSean Jackson goes down after he catches one across the middle. So I just don't see the Redskins doing much. It's great to see that RG3 is able to come back to a training camp and not have all the hoopla this time, you know, not the big promo and everything. However, he's been exposed, and, you know, everyone's on to his game. And though I think he will play better than last year, I don't think it'll be enough. I have the Redskins winning 4 games, losing 12. They may be competitive in some of those games, but I just don't see it. I don't think throughout the course of the season they're going to make it. Their defense has to improve on having the 24th ranked pass defense last year. So
yeah,
even if they move from 24 to 20, and the offense, you know, in my opinion, is going to break down, the key players are going to go down, this team's going to finish with a 4-12 record. All of us could be right, but we definitely are in agreement in an agreement that they're going to probably be the worst team in the division. That's really all I have to say about the Skins. I think next we're going to move to the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is an interesting team. Last season they finished, second in the NFC East? And not sure if many people had them there, but they did finish second in the division. Lacey?
Yes.
Since you deferred on the opening kickoff, you know, we're starting the next possession. You know, we'd like to let you start the 20-yard line with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia. What I see in Philadelphia is they've got some question marks, but I see a team that I feel is headed in the right direction. I know Chip Kelly has taken a beating, you know, in the media for a lot of the stuff that he's done, but what I'm looking at is a team that has made improvements in places that needed improvements.
Okay.
So when I say, you know, Sam Bradford, if you can get him healthy, and he appears to be, I'm going to knock on wood here, he appears to be healthy. He's an upgrade, so they got an upgrade there. They brought in DeMarco Murray. You got an upgrade, you know. Jeremy Maclin left, and Jordan Matthews moves over, but apparently Nelson Agholor is really, you know, tearing it up that's what's coming out of camp.
Yeah.
So their offense is looking really solid despite all of the changes that have been, you know, that happened in the off season. The only real downside to that is, of course, you know, when you have that many changes, you're going to have an offense that is a certain amount of flux because, you know, there's fluctuations. People are not necessarily going to pick up, you know, the plays, and you know you're going to have to make, you know, you're going to have to make adjustments there. There's a huge adjustment at the quarterback position. There's a huge adjustment at the running back position. There's a big adjustment at the receiver position. So all of those adjustments are going to factor into how well they do. But I feel like they're going to gel better and better as the season goes along. And I feel that Philly really has a lot of the right answers. I have them projected at 11-5. Again, just like their brethren here, the Redskins, they have the NFC South and the AFC East. But I feel like their offense really, really is going to be hard to beat. I think they're going to put up good numbers against whoever they play. Again, if Bradford is healthy. But even without a healthy Bradford, now you have DeMarco Murray, who I think will get some things done that LeSean McCoy wasn't able to do last year. And even so, they did pretty well last year. I think that they've improved from last year. That is, and I feel like they're going to be at the top of their division. I'm not going to say they're going to win it outright, but I feel like they're going to be at the top. So,
well, 11-5 should put you near the top.
It should. So, Zachariah, what say you?
I actually I like your prediction, because my strength for Philadelphia, though it's going to be highly unpopular, is Chip Kelly. And everybody has been giving him flack about what's going on, but
mm-hmm.
I like what Chip Kelly does, because to me what he's done in Philadelphia is he's gotten rid of a lot of guys that were fantasy guys, i.e. mm-hmm. LeSean McCoy, Deshaun Jackson, who's in Washington, yeah. Jeremy Maclin. Now, he got rid of a very good offensive lineman, but he's gotten rid of guys that were fantasy guys, or maybe mm-hmm. guys that didn't necessarily buy into his system. And
right.
he's getting individuals that are more built for his team. He is truly, you know, a lot of times we call a quarterback a system quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He is a guy that really has a system, and his quarterback does his system. So I don't even care who the quarterback is, Bradford, Sanchez, Barkley, or Tebow, they will get solid quarterback play. I just kind of have faith in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think DeMarco Murray was a good pickup for them if we're looking in the short term, i.e. maybe this year.
Right.
Or next year, and he even went so far as to get Ryan Matthews. So if Murray does have some issues like he's kind of had so far in camp to cover for that. You had Darren Sproles, that's a very good three-headed monster running back. Wide
yeah.
receivers are not household names, but Matthews is okay. Nelson Aguilar, I like out of USC. He's a kid with potential. You'll still have to see. Then you add. He's actually got two decent tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Felix, who people may mm-hmm. have forgotten about.
Nope.
Has been good in the past. And I also like Zach Ertz, another guy that has potential to come up. And the line's okay based on his system.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just add defensively, they will be good enough to get done what they should get done. Now, are they where they want to be defensively? Probably not. I would like to, if we go on weakness, I'd like to see a little bit more out of the secondary. I don't like that they gave all that money to Byron Maxwell, because I kind of thought he was, average
mm-hmm.
in Philadelphia, and now he's supposed to be maybe your number one shutdown guy. I don't know if that will work well for you, but the NFC is kind of, as Lacey said, you know, this is there's a lot of parity in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just the NFC East, but I think in the conference as a whole.
Yeah.
So I have the Philadelphia Eagles going 10-6, and they're going to get the number 6 spot in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in Chip, and while he doesn't have the super team that he wants yet, I think he gets another 10-win season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, things are sounding
one.
Well, things are sounding, or look like the arrow's pointing up in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Both of you feel very comfortable with the Eagles. And, I mean, those are records that, you know, 11 wins and 10 wins, that's definitely doable in the NFC and in the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
I have a similar take with you guys. I like what Chip is doing. He's basically, you know, he moved Foles along, Nick Foles along, and he's going to go with Bradford, Sanchez, and Barkley coming in. And he's working with a trio of backs with DeMarco Murray, Sproles, and Matthews. All three quarterbacks, all three running backs have something different about their games, and so that gives him a lot of flexibility. And again, to piggyback, he can use he's using players that's going to fit his system, his style of play, what he's trying to get done, referring to the coach, Chip Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
So the high-tempo offense, up-tempo offense, that's a plus. That's a strength for the Eagles. They are going to put points on the board. There's also their special teams. I did watch them play in the preseason game versus the Colts, and their special teams look good. It was preseason. However, you know, mm-hmm. you got the ones against the ones, the twos against the twos. So, but they did look impressive on the special team side of things as well. So I think the Eagles will score a lot of points. I believe they're also going to give up a lot of points. They're trying to improve the pass defense, but, man, they was ranked 31st in pass defense last year, and there's 32 teams in the league. So I see Philly in a lot of shootouts this year. I do have them in some kind of way. They're going to pull out 10 wins, so I have them at 10-6.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe 10-6 is going to put them just outside of making the playoffs, but it'll come down to the last game or two of the season. Mm-hmm. But I have the Eagles at 10-6 heading up until the season. So I think we're all close on that one. We're gonna move, you know, right down the road from Philadelphia over to the team that plays in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
but they go by the name of the New York Giants.
Uh-huh.
And Lacey,
yeah,
let's go ahead and get down to it. We know this is one of your teams.
Yeah.
And I want the 411 on the New York Giants.
Well, I'm going to start off by saying, as far as the Giants are concerned, because they are one of my teams, I'm a New Yorker, and I love my New York teams.
Okay.
And I want to say that I want to be wrong about what I'm about to say about the Giants, because I love them. But they're not ready. This doesn't feel like their year. They got, I don't know if they just have really bad luck.
Mm.
I feel like that you know, some of the things that worked well for them last year, you know, Odell Beckham was a nice surprise, and he was the best thing to happen to them last year. It wasn't a good year, and I was hoping that they were going to make some moves and make some changes in the, you know, in the off season that would put them in a position to have a much better year. And I can't see where they've done that. I think that the running game is still going to be, you know, a headache, for the Giants. I mean, I think they're going to have some fun, but you know, it's just not going to be where it needs to be. I feel like the passing game, you know, you got, you know, Odell Beckham, you know, he had a great year last year. Everybody knows that when you have a year like that, there's going to be a drop-off. You just can't sustain that type of production. Not, you know, these teams are too good. Even though I feel like the NFC East is playing NFC South and AFC East, and those are not, everybody's beatable. You just can't sustain that. Fitzgerald Cruz coming back, you know, this is, you know, Eli's going to be like a, you know, mama, with a lot of hungry mouths to feed. I feel like sometimes too many options is not a good thing, you know. You're trying to spread it around and you know, Eli, you know, he gets off his game. I think he's better when he has like a straight up go to guy. When you got too many options, it leads to turnovers. I know that probably sounds crazy, but that's the way I feel about it. And I hate to say it, but I feel like the Giants are going to be down there with the Redskins and somewhere in the 8-8,
Ooh.
8-8 range, which you know, which could easily be 7-9. You know, I don't even want to think 6-10, but you know, I just don't feel like they made the kind of changes that need to be made. I don't know what's going on with the Giants, what's going on with Tom Coughlin. I don't know who is creating the, you know, it's just like a log jam there. There's stuff that needs to happen that isn't happening, and I don't know who's responsible for it, but I do know that the Giants are going to suffer and pay for it.
Wow.
And that is my take on it.
Well, 8-8, and wow, and this, and you know, this is your team, and
I want to be wrong. I got plenty of Giants gear. I got the Giants on my front, on the front of my car. I announce it everywhere I go. Of course, the Jets are on the back.
But there's a reason why. But there's a reason why on this podcast we give you the real sports talk. And
gotta
despite it being
truth.
Your team, you told, you gave everybody the real sports talk. Zach, what are your takes on the Giants?
I like the Giants offense. I mean, they have a coach, Tom Coughlin. He's taking some criticism, which is fair, but I would just ask on these fan bases, would you like to be Cincinnati where you're making the playoffs, but you don't win a game, whereas Coughlin, when he does get to the playoffs, a lot of times he's holding the trophy up at the end of the year. So it just depends on what you're looking at. And that would go with Eli. Eli is not, you know, he's not in the top tier of quarterback, but I would tell you that he's not in the bottom tier either. And his two Super Bowl runs, he performed at an all-time level that it'd be hard for any quarterback to match. And I dare someone to challenge me on that, because he did that on the road, and one of those seasons was against a Patriots team that was undefeated. So that might be the greatest Super Bowl win ever.
I think so.
Looking at it from that standpoint,
mm-hmm.
I like the Giants' offense. You get Victor Cruz back if he is healthy. He's a guy that's going to be vicious out of the slot. Odell Beckham, we've seen what he can do. Hopefully, he doesn't fall off for year two or to get the sophomore slump. And in Jennings, he's another guy that showed some potential last year at the running back position. Williams, the backup, solid backup, 2,000-yard rusher at Boston College. And then they took Shane Vereen, so the running back position should be in good hands. And they've even got a couple other receivers in Randall and Dwayne Harris, who they took from the Cowboys.
That's right.
Could help them. And the tight end's not bad. I mean, they got a combination of Donnell and Fells that should be good. And this is the second year for a lot of those players in that offense. So I would expect growth. So the offense is definitely a strength. If we're going to go with some, of course, weaknesses, the defense, when you get your was already going to have some issues, then you get your star defensive end getting his hand blown off or part of his hand blown off, that doesn't help.
No.
So they're going to give up some points. They're going to give up, I would say, there's going to be some games where they're going to be a very exciting team to watch, because their games are going to be maybe 30, 31, something like that. I have the Giants going 9-7. So they're not going to be great, but they're not going to be bad. They're kind of – they're right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, as we said earlier, if some things break the right way, they get the defense solid. And maybe they get two more wins and they go 11-5. But at the same time, they break the wrong way, you can go 7-9. But I have them 9-7 right now. I'm going to have faith that Eli is not going to be as bad as he's been the past 2 years. And with the skilled players he has around him, I just like to believe they're going to be above 500. Not much above it, but above 500.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's just an honest assessment.
I know, but I appreciate hearing somebody say it.
No problem.
411?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd just like to start off by saying this. Will E lie, or will he tell the truth? Which Eli Manning are we going to receive this year? Which one are we going to see? Are we going to see the Eli that posted career highs in categories, you know, in touchdowns and in completion percentages? Or are we going to get the Eli that's going to give you 25 to 30 interceptions? He's loaded with weapons this year. As long as these guys just stay halfway healthy, I mean, Eli's going to be loaded with weapons, pass-catching mm-hmm. running backs, explosive receivers with Beckham and Cruz coming back. and Randall was showing flashes last season. You know, Vereen out of the backfield, Jennings from the Raiders. I love all the weapons that he has at his disposal, and let's not also not forget the big tight end he had last year as well. So that's a great red zone target.
Donald.
As long as Donald, can just maintain health for most of the season. The Giants should put up a lot of points. Their offense should be explosive, and I think they can put up a lot of points, similar to like the Eagles are going to be an explosive offensive team. I see the Giants doing something similar.
Defense, though.
Yeah, and speaking of explosions, let's look at JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, with the firework incident going on there. So, that hurts the defense. He may come back, in true form, but he may not. But despite all that, man, like you said, like you just touched on, Lacey, the defense, giving up 30. They were ranked 30th in rush defense last year. That's just awful. So there's nowhere to go but up in that category. However, I see the Giants in a lot of shootouts. I see parity in this division. And I was kind of torn between them and the Eagles with the 10-6 and the 9-7. And I'm going to lean 9-7 with the Giants, which is a pretty good season. I mean, if you're heavy on offense and weak on defense, depending on how things break, you probably are going to finish about 8-8, 9-7. So I'm going with 9-7. That will still keep the Giants out of the playoff picture, in my opinion. A break or two here, though, they can at least be in it, heading down to the last game or two of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On to Big D, the big state, Dallas,
yeah.
Texas. Dallas Cowboys, last season, they finished with a 12-4 record. They won the NFC Eastern Division. They lost a major running back in DeMarco Murray. Zach, give us the rundown on the Cowboys for this season.
Well, Cowboys fans, y'all should be pretty excited. Because no matter which to the last, I guess it goes without saying that I have the Cowboys winning the division. So I think that our smart listeners already figured that out. But here's why.
Mm-hmm.
They got the best offensive line in football. It's not even questionable. And not only do they got the best offensive line in football, then, for whatever reason, the NFL decided, or 31 other teams decided, you know what? We're not going to take Lael Collins in the sixth or seventh round because of what he's got going on. Even though most of our six or seven round picks, especially seven round, don't make the team anyway. We're just going to let him become a free agent. And we let him become a free agent, and he signs with the Cowboys. So now they've got a starting caliber lineman off their bench. They can play any of the line positions, I believe, minus center. So guard gets hurt, tackle gets hurt. You can plug a guy right in there and shouldn't have much of a drop-off at all. And we just look at the other stuff. Witten and Dez Bryant, two of the better guys in their position. Dez Bryant, probably definitely top three at his position. That's a big-time plus for Romo, who doesn't get a lot of credit, but he's probably top five, top six quarterback in the league, and he plays at a pretty high level. And add, I'm giving them a little, I guess, grace, buffer, buy-in, but Darren McFadden, former University of Arkansas running back, I think this might be a year, outside of that one good year he had in Oakland, that he is going to have a year where he's going to give you 1,200 yards and, really stabilize their running game, even though they lost DeMarco, which is a loss for them. But I think you can plug Darren McFadden in, and he may even be more electric, though it'll be on less carries because it's going to be kind of by committee. Now, we go into the negative, and this has been a big theme in the NFL across, I guess, a lot of the teams. Defense.
Yeah.
how the Cowboys get their defense together is going to be key. And a lot of that is going to be dealing with injuries, or I should say not having the injuries that they had last year. They get Sean Lee back. Hopefully he is up to par. But it may take some time since he's coming off injuries. But they added Greg Hardy. For as much as everybody wants to talk about what happened off the field, and what happened off the field was egregious, the guy is going to be on the field and may be on the field before Tom Brady's on the field, but that's a different story. He's going to give them a pass rush that they haven't had, which is going to be good for them. They added Randy Gregory out of the draft. I'm not going to tell you that he's some super explosive pass rusher, but what he is he's a guy that's better than what they had that can put pressure on the quarterback if he lives up to the college billing. Secondary is okay, but if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm really hoping that Maurice Claiborne plays up to his potential this year so he can take over one of the corner positions and really, you know, help that unit get to another level. If the Cowboys follow the game plan, they should run the ball, be able to control the clock, you know, keep Romo's pass attempts down, and not only are they going to win the division, but I have the Cowboys making the NFC Championship.
Wow.
So, Cowboys will have a 10-6 record. But I believe their team is built to excel in the playoffs.
Wow.
I know. So Cowboys fans, hopefully it'll pan out that way.
10-6 NFC Championship game. Winning
yep.
the division. NFC
yep.
Eastern Champs.
Yep.
Mm.
All right. You stated a great case for the Cowboys. How about you, Lacey?
Well, I like I agree with most of what Zach had to say. Mostly because, you know, I think the Cowboys are, you know, they are the real deal. They were anyway. I feel like, you know, just giving up to Marco Murray. I understand the O-line and all of that, and I understand if you like anybody can run behind it. It just
right.
doesn't really work that way in real life. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, it's hard. It's very hard to hear Darren McFadden and great season in the same sentence and really buy into that. But I do understand what you mean. Darren McFadden has never had this kind of line to run behind. You know, if he's any kind of semi-healthy, he's mm-hmm. he's really good. You know, for you know, up to this point, he's just basically been running for his life. You know. And so this kind of situation is something he's not familiar with, and I feel like that's going to take some getting used to for him because he just has never been in a position this favorable before. However, one of the problems with that is that he is not the only, you know, he doesn't have it to himself. This is a disturbing trend that I find all throughout the NFC East. The only team that hasn't fallen victim to this, in my opinion, is Washington, and Alfred
mm-hmm.
Morris basically has that to himself. The rest of them are timeshares. But I do
That's
feel
true.
Like with the Cowboys, it's going to be a timeshare, but it's the kind of timeshare that if somebody like rises above the heap, that they will get the opportunity to expand that role. I think they're just looking for their next DeMarco Murray. They don't really want to make it a timeshare, and McFadden does have the skill set to be successful, you know, if he's healthy. So there's a lot of things that I agree about there. And, of course, Dez Bryant is special. There's no question about that. Jason Witten's special. You know, Tony Romo, special. He is. You know, Dallas has a lot of things that are going to go well for him. Excuse me, for them. One thing that's not going to go that well for them, as we discussed with the other teams, they're all playing the NFC South and they're all playing the AFC East. And
mm-hmm.
and none of those are all winnable games, you know, but there's a couple of real, as they say in golf, teasters, you know, New Orleans, Carolina, New England, those are all going to be tough games. And I think Buffalo is going to surprise everybody this year. But Dallas also has to play Seattle and Green Bay, you know, in addition to all of the NFC East twice. and the NFC South and the AFC East. Their schedule is tougher, and I feel like they take a step back. You know, losing DeMarco Murray is something that they're going to feel. They may be able to make up for 90% of him, but I don't think they're going to be able to make up for 100% of what he did last year. That was a special season, and it's not the kind of thing that comes along, you know, twice, really, you know, in most running backs' lives. And it certainly isn't the kind of thing that you just give away. You don't just let that walk out the door. That was a stupid thing to do, and they did it. And they're going to spend this season trying to get their running game back to that level. That having been said, I believe, because I said that Philly goes 11-5 and Dallas goes 11-5, I believe Dallas also goes 11-5 because they take a step back from 12-4 because of DeMarco Murray and losing him. However, I do feel like Dallas wins the division, even if they have the same record with Philly or very similar record with Philly. I think that they win the division because of they're going to beat more people within the division. They're going to, even though they have to play Seattle and Green Bay, and nobody else has to play those two. That's that's some special little karma or something that Dallas has going on. But I really feel like they win the division, and despite having to play Seattle and Green Bay, I think Dallas gets that done.
Okay, well, 11-5, mm-hmm. impressive record by the Cowboys. They did finish 12-4 the previous season, so. That's definitely a goal that they can attain,
mm-hmm.
and I'm on board with you. I have Cowboys at 11-5 as well,
mm-hmm.
Mainly because of the fact that I have the Redskins, you know, at 4-12, and
yeah.
I have the Eagles, you know, they're at 10-6, and the
mm-hmm.
Giants at 9-7, so. I guess I said all that to say that the Cowboys should win this division based on the lack of strength of the other teams. And the three other teams in this division, to me, their defense is horrible. Dallas, even though their defense is 26 against the pass last year, which
mm-hmm.
is definitely not impressive. However, they did run the ball for almost 2,000 yards last year and 13 touchdowns. So
mm-hmm.
if they can continue that formula with running the ball. Romo is a solid quarterback. He's been solid for years. And if he has that weapon in Dez Bryant and he has that safety blanket in Witten, so when it's time for him to make those passes, he has the ability to do it. He has the weapons. But running that ball will control the clock. It will wear down the other teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have Dallas pulling out this division with 11-5 record. That means they're going to make the playoffs. And on another show, I'll let you know how far I believe the Cowboys will make it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after the commercial break, Lacey, we're going to come back with a fantasy moment.
Yes, thank you.
And we want you to give the fans the key fantasy players from the NFC East. So, Lacey.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back.
Woo! That was quite a break, yeah.
The fantasy moment of tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Lacey, NFC East was our topic.
Yes.
Please list the key players, fantasy players that all the fantasy owners in the world need to keep in mind when they're drafting in the NFC East, and why.
Okay. I will, I'll try to go by position. My first position is quarterback, and of the quarterbacks that are available, Tony Romo, obviously, is somebody that should be considered among the elite quarterbacks. Not for just for what he's done, but for his potential this year, he's throwing to Dez. Dez is going to make him look good. You know, he's got Dez, he's got Jason Witten. You know, he's got the weapons, he's got the opportunities. It's going to happen for him. It's been happening, and he's consistent. And I understand that Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers, you know, those are your your top of the pile guys, but Tony Romo is somebody that you should target, and you don't have to target him too early. That he is your he is a sleeper at the position. A deeper sleeper at the position, in my opinion, if he stays healthy. Sam Bradford has always been a really good quarterback when he's healthy. Sam Bradford is in Philadelphia. I believe Chip Kelly's going to let him go. I mean, let him go get after it. He's going to let him do what he does well, and he's got the weapons, and he's got the kind of offense that's built for it, and he's got the kind of coach that's going to let him do it. And as long as he stays healthy, he is a sleeper, a deep sleeper. When I say sleeper, I mean you can probably get him in round 8 or 9. He can be your backup, and I feel like he's going to just continue to develop. His numbers are going to get better and better. I feel like Sam Bradford is going to finish ahead of Peyton Manning this year.
Really?
And that is my opinion based on what I know that he can do. And the position that he's in, the opportunity that he has with the team that he's playing for, if he stays healthy, and that's a big if. That's at quarterback. At running back, like I said earlier, I see a very disturbing trend here in the NFC East is running back by committee for everybody. Everybody's in a timeshare except for Alfred Morris. So that makes him the star of this bunch, because he basically has it to himself. Matt Jones is he's developing, but Alfred Morris is the guy that gets most of it. All of the rest of them, even DeMarco Murray, you got Ryan Matthews breathing down your neck. You got Darren Sproles there. You can't discount him. That's going to be a timeshare. The Cowboys, like I said, as Zach said, McFadden is going to, is in a position to have a great year. I agree with him. However, with Randall and even Dunbar there, I don't trust Dallas not to, try to save him down the stretch. So, when he's doing great and you get to week 9, 10, 11, 12, and then week 13, 14, 15, all of a sudden McFadden's on the bench because Dallas has already kind of got it locked up, that's not a good look. So you have to be careful with that. These committees, and in New York, there's no question that's a committee. As far as that's running backs. Now, at the receiver position, obviously Dez is a stud. Odell Beckham, you're going to have to expect some regression, but, New York will be throwing the ball. Victor Cruz may get some of that, but Beckham is the red zone. He's the red zone guy, so he's a pretty solid pick. Washington Redskins, receivers, you got DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon. I want to like this better. I want to like DeSean Jackson better. He needs to stay healthy. I just feel like he's not the big target that is needed. He's going to get you a couple of good games, and I feel like that's going to be it. He's going to get you very average numbers outside of that. Philadelphia, oh my goodness. Jordan Matthews and Nelson Aguilar, just from what, they've been reporting on him, that is a nice tandem right there. That's where I would invest the money in these guys. That's what I would do because, they're going to be throwing the ball. Bradford is an excellent quarterback when he's healthy, and as long as he's healthy, he's going to be getting the ball there. Jordan Matthews has had it, how he works out at number one, the flyer. Tight ends, Jason Witten, you can't really go wrong there. As Zach touched on this, you got Celek and Ertz. Ertz is the future, so they're going to be trying to get him involved more. I would take a flyer on him. New York is Donald is there. There's a couple of other ones, but I would leave them alone. Or at least tight end too. As far as this division goes, I wouldn't really fool with anybody's defense too much. Smart money's not on defense in this division. So.
Okay. Note to self. Delete all NFC East defensive teams.
Don't
I'm
count
doing
on
that
them.
Tonight.
Yeah, not even as a backup. Mm-mm.
Zach,
well,
do you have a sleeper in the NFC East? If there was a player that just maybe we forgot about this guy, but maybe you shouldn't have.
Well, we mentioned McFadden, but kind of he's on everybody's radar. So if I was going to give you a sleeper, I'm going to go RG3.
Mm. Whoa. Hold on. Let me pick myself up off the floor. Hold on. Okay, I'm back
up. I like it.
If you were going to agree, I mean, yes, he would be the sleeper among sleepers because no one expects too much from him. But honestly, any of those teams in that division, you can switch fortunes on because, you know, while Romo shouldn't be the number one pick that you get or whatever as a QB, if Dallas mess around and they can't establish a running game, he'll be throwing a whole bunch.
All the time.
That can increase his value. That would be bad for Dallas fans, but that could happen. Same thing in Philadelphia. Hey, it's a possibility Bradford plays, offense is clicking, and he could be big time this year, or at least, you know, give you some good stuff.
He's really
good. Same thing in New York.
Mm-hmm.
If New York, you know, falls behind because the defense doesn't keep them in game,
yeah,
or maybe
true.
Their running game isn't bad, Eli's going to be throwing to Cruz and Beckham a whole bunch, which padding his stats. I think people kind of expect that. With RG3, even though they just lost Niles Paul, if they get everything to fall together, I mean, RG3 could have a year like he had his first year, and we've seen that he can do it, but it's going to take going back to the read option. I mean, you're talking about he's going to give you passing yards with a pretty good completion percentage, and he's also would give you rushing yards and maybe rushing touchdowns. So if I was going to take a chance, I'd take a chance with RG3 late somewhere in the draft as my backup QB. And, hey, if it doesn't work, you didn't spend too much. And if it does work, you might be getting a season like that season Mike Vick had in Philly the one year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good stuff fantasy-wise. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you can probably get RG3 and Bradford if you need to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they should be there.
It wouldn't be the worst thing to do.
No? So, yeah, look at your bye weeks, yeah.
I didn't even look at it that way, but, yeah, you're right. And we did touch on it when we broke down the divisions that there was a recurring theme that most of these teams were not good on defense. So, fantasy owners, you know, keep that in mind when you're drafting about the NFC East and how the defenses are not as strong as they used to be once upon a time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can rack up and get a lot of value picks in that division.
Yeah.
Crew, today was a excellent show. Great breakdown of the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
On tomorrow's show, we will have a very special guest. Everyone knows this guy, T-Rock. He will be in the building.
Zach's best bud.
Yes, T-Rock will be in the building.
Zach and T-Rock.
Yes.
I like it.
So, everyone, we thank you. We thank you for listening to our podcast, for making it what it is. And we look forward to seeing you all tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, 6 p.m. Specific time.
Okay.
3 p.m. in Hawaii.
Will you please stop?
Okay. I ran out of time zones. But,
yeah, I know.
What about in China, man? What about the fans in China? I got fans there.
Don't test him. He's done.
We'll cover that tomorrow.
Okay.
Have a good night, fans.
All right. Good night, y'all.
Good night. Go Dawgs.
Yeah. Go Giants, and we need you. Yeah.